Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 53. Thank you for bearing with us after our we took a week off because there's no big new releases, and there also wasn't really any big new releases this last weekend. But luckily, we have an avalanche of news and trailers and everything.
It is an extravaganza. We promise you.
It's a lot.
A lot of fun news, a lot of fun trailers, a lot of controversial news. So it's going to be a long one, I think.
We might have more news this week than we've had combined the last 4 weeks.
Plus trailers.
I don't understand how it happened. Yes,
plus like the magnitude of trailers and the importance of some of these trailers is far greater than some of the last couple episodes combined. Yeah. So we got a long show for you, so we're going to dive right in.
Yeah, so first up, the Oscars were kind of struggling to find a host, and then they got Kevin Hart. And then Kevin Hart stepped down a couple days later. Basically, people went back, looked at some old tweets, as they do with most people nowadays, and he had some very homophobic tweets that were just poor taste, not even good jokes or anything like that. And so, basically, he came out and didn't automatically apologize or say sorry or say he's grown as a man. All he said was people are going to try and put you down. And I'm proud. He's like, I'm 40 years old and I'm proud of the man that I'm still becoming. It was like, what? And he just didn't mention any wrongdoing or any sort of growth that he's had. And so then people got even more angry. And then the next day he was like, I'm stepping down. And then he finally apologized to the LGBTQ community, which is what he just should have done from the start, and he would have been fine. But because it was such a weird statement that he put out originally. When you're 40 years old, how are you how is he saying I'm proud of the man that I'm still becoming?
It's a real James Gunn scenario. Just come out and apologize. Do the right thing. I'm not gonna lie. I've never been a fan of Kevin Hart. He's kind of I think of him as the male Melissa McCarthy. She just does poopy and fart jokes, and she does a fall down. And Kevin Hart is always just the little guy that gets all excited and just freaks out and is just the short guy. This doesn't make me. This doesn't give me any pros in the Kevin Hart column.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of him, but I definitely see where you're coming from. In Jumanji, I like how the whole idea is that everyone's going to be sort of inverted and playing different against type roles. Even The Rock was, and then Kevin Hart was just himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a minute there, I thought, you're an idiot. Kevin Hart wasn't in Jumanji, because I thought of the original Jumanji. tough scenario, but I'm sorry, did you mention who's hosting the Oscars now?
No one is hosting the Oscars.
I thought somebody said yes.
Maybe. Nope. I believe that they put out basically a statement saying that, hey, we might not actually want to host. And that's what someone says when a dude who's been single for a long time. It's oh, why are you still single? I just really enjoy the bachelor life. No, it's because no girls want to date you. And that's essentially what celebrities are doing to the Oscars right now. Although Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, who did the Oh Hello show on Broadway, where they dressed up as old dudes. Absolutely hilarious. It's on Netflix if you haven't seen it. They started campaigning as the two old dudes to try and get ABC to offer it to them. I think it'd be absolutely hilarious if they were allowed to do it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Either way, they'll get somebody cool.
Yeah. Next up, Jordan Peele's upcoming movie, which I believe comes out in March of next year, has finally received an official plot synopsis. It's been a few months now that we've known the name of the movie, which is Us. We've known a couple of the cast members, but that's basically it. And so we finally have a little bit of something here. A mother, played by Lupita Nyong'o from Black Panther and 12 Years a Slave, and a father, Winston Duke, from Black Panther as well, take their kids to their beach house, expecting to unplug and unwind with friends. The friends include Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men and Handmaid's Tale, but as night descends, their serenity turns to tension and chaos when some shocking visitors arrive uninvited.
That sounds like a setup for a horror movie. Yep,
it does indeed.
That's a good one. There's not much there, but that he's going to have a spin on it.
Yeah, it just sounds like a basic home invasion kind of thing.
Yep.
Or I guess just like unexpected visitors, just people that they just weren't obviously weren't expecting, which is what unexpected means. Just, I don't know, just obviously race is going to play into it a little bit. There's going to be social commentary. That's sort of what Jordan Peele's whole thing has been. After Get Out came out, he was like, I have like five like social thriller movies that I want to make sort of in that same vein. And so I imagine this will do it. The four people that we know are going to be in the movie are the two black actors and then the two white actors. So Elizabeth Moss and Tim Heidecker, who's of like Tim and Eric fame. Obviously race is going to play a factor in
five
this.
Five like original stories. I don't even know how to make five meals. And this guy has five stories just ready in his head. What an artist.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. We're clearly excited for it. Next up, this is interesting. So Emma Stone has been attached to play Cruella De Vil in a Disney movie for a couple of years now, I believe. And finally, some news has come out about it. Craig Gillespie, who directed I, Tonya last year, is on board to direct this movie. And it's officially like a straight Cruella De Vil movie, not just like only 101 Dalmatians, Cruella De Vil. And it's going to have an early 1980s punk vibe.
I could see Emma Stone in the role, but how are they going to make us like empathize and like Cruella De Vil? I don't even remember these movies. What was her evil thing? Did she just want to use their coat, use their fur or something?
Yeah, she wanted to skin the puppies.
That is really dark.
Yeah, which is terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can make her sympathetic.
Yeah, I mean the director took I, Tonya, who people are like, Tonya Harding, and like you know showed a good side of her. So,
but dogs.
Yeah,
I feel like people are more taken aback.
Yeah, there's a universal rule that if a dog dies in a movie, that the movie sucks. So, exactly. Like, this is really balancing that gray area.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. I like the punk vibe. I imagine, like, you know, neon colors and stuff like that. And I do respect that they're doing sort of more of an original take, since all of these remakes that Disney has been doing have been just literally, like,
super
straight.
Realistic, yeah.
Yeah. And there's already been a 101 Dalmatians live action movie with Glenn Close.
Yep.
And so I respect this. I love Emma Stone. I think the dude did really good with I, Tonya. So like maybe a dark comedy vibe to this. I just don't understand how this movie's going to work.
Yeah. I'd love an R rated version of it, but it's going to be PG it's going to be lame.
Yeah. In other movies that we're confused by, Sonic the Hedgehog, which is the live action CGI hybrid movie coming out next year. Had an animated poster release this week, and we finally got our first look at what Sonic's gonna look like. Except like it was more of his silhouette. It was sort of in the dark. But my dude's got some muscular legs. Let's say that.
Yo, it looks like a teenager in a monkey suit. Like it looks really weird. If they just would have gone with the Sonic that we've seen in the last two games, just that kind of bright, colorful design. They look like they're trying to make him ultra realistic, and it looks—he just looks like too tall, like he's like as tall as you, and like he's just ready to like fist fight somebody. It just looks weird.
I not safe for work comment here. I saw a tweet where this dude did like an outline drawing of the silhouette of Sonic from the poster, and he was like, I know why it looks so weird. He's like, that isn't actually just Sonic. It's a human man eating Sonic's ass.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, a perfect drawing. I was like, okay, that could actually be it, you know?
No, like, I'm expecting a trailer any day now, and we're going to get a really good look at this. I really think that the designers and, like, the visual effects people released this just to kind of see, okay, what's the world going to think of this? And then they're going to go back to the drawing board like, oh boy, we messed this up. But side note, do not go down the Sonic and his furry friends rabbit hole of like deviant art. My God, it gets weird.
Yeah, you even threw the warning at me. I was perusing whatever the Reddit post for this poster, and there was like two just like hilariously creepy photos that they made of it, and I sent that to our Slack, and you were like, don't go any further.
Do not go further, dude. It gets weird. And the hype continues to deflate for this one.
Next up, Bond 25, which has director Cary Fukunaga, who made it, or no, just kidding, was going to make it, but then made Maniac for season True Detective. Some news for this. So Ralph Fiennes, Ben Whishaw, Lea Seydoux, Doe, and Naomi Harris, who are all in the past couple movies, are returning officially. And Rami Malek, Mr. Robot, Bohemian Rhapsody, is being eyed for a villain role.
Dude,
what do you think about that?
I love this, actually. Yeah, I think he could play creepy. He could play off-putting really, really well. I mean, he's already just weird in Mr. Robot, you know. I think he could pull a really creepy, weird vibe in this one. I love it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I can, because even like in Mr. Robot, I feel like he's like not straightforward, like heroic kind of type. He is kind of this, he does play like weirdos.
He can play like a, like very psychopathic, just no emotion, no empathy, straight faced, bug eyed, weird dude.
So he wouldn't be like, but the only thing for me is I can't imagine him like fighting or shooting a gun.
No. And
so he'd have to be like the mastermind or something.
Yeah, did La Chifra ever really do any fighting?
No.
Like, I can totally see him being a role like that, where he's a manipulator, he's not a fighter.
Mm-hmm. I guess La Chifra did the ball whip, but that was the only amount of action I think that he had.
Yeah, he was rock hard during that, anyway. This is an X-rated episode already, let's move on.
Yeah, I know. Next up, Crazy Rich Asians, which actually we're going to talk about in a little bit for what you're watching. Has sequels confirmed. Two sequels are confirmed, and they're going to film back to back.
Is this a first for like a rom-com, essentially?
I think so.
This is interesting. Like, big epic movies usually do this to cut down on budget, but honestly, we'll talk about it later, but this movie looked really good.
Big
shots, wide angles, yeah.
Fast-tracked. Like, this is, like, happening fast, too. Like, the movie came out this summer.
It made a lot of money, got really good critical and audience reviews, so good for them.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine this is probably easier, because a lot of that cast is, like, kind of hot now. Especially the dude. Yeah. I mean, the dude has already been in A Simple Favor, and he's going to be in a couple other things, so it probably makes most sense, I guess, if they're trying to get a trilogy to do it so fast.
Interesting. I'd be interested to see if a comedy or a rom-com or anything other than like giant epics have ever filmed back to back, but good for them.
Yeah. Next up, Zach Galifianakis, back in the movie world. He has a movie in the works at Netflix based on his Between Two Ferns sort of talk show kind of parody kind of thing. I do not understand how this is going to be a movie.
Oh my god. Yeah. It works perfectly as a Funny or Die skit and is good in really short bursts, but just like Nathan For You, I don't know if I could watch 2 hours of this.
I don't understand.
It's showing how he got to that point, doing some things, the fallout, the return. If anybody can do it, it's our boy Galifianakis.
Or maybe it's going to be more of like a special, like a two-hour special kind of thing or something like that.
Probably.
They're just calling it a movie.
They'll get a bunch of new celebrities and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
Which one's your favorite?
Way.
Mine's got to be Obama.
Yeah, Obama for sure.
So good.
Next up, Ryan Reynolds, who has been going crazy with stuff here in the past couple months, just like throwing his name on stuff, getting attached to stuff. He is going to produce a horror film based on a story that was in the subreddit No Sleep, which is just a bunch of like fictional horror stories. And it is called The Patient Who Nearly Drove Me Out of Medicine. So he's only attached to the producer right now, not starring as of this moment. It's for 20th Century Fox and New Regency. The story for this is about an idealistic young doctor who tries to solve a mystery and heal its most difficult patient. So that's not a lot to go off of, but...
I used to love this subreddit until, like, I browsed it for, like, a year until I found out it was all fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really, really dumb. I would, like, literally, like... I don't know why I do this to myself, because usually, like, I'm such a tough guy, nothing actually scares me a lot. But I'll browse, like... those creepy Ask Reddit threads right before bed. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, damn, I don't want to go to bed yet. So I used to read No Sleep before bed. And then I felt really dumb that it was all fiction.
Yeah. There was like a weekend where me and one of my roommates had watched like a couple horror movies. And we're like, why does nothing scare us anymore?
I know, right?
And so like we went deep into Reddit. And I found No Sleep. And I was like, oh, All right. Yes. And so, like, we started, like, reading the stories, and we were so duped, so fooled. And then we got to one, and we were like, there's no way that can be real. Like, that can't be real. And we were like, but no, like, it feels like it's, like, the rest of the story seemed real. And so, like, I kept reading, and then I finally, like, figured it out, like, a week later, and I was like, wow, we're stupid.
Yep. There's a really good, people who do search and rescue or, like, stay out in the mountains all weekend. Mm-hmm. What are your creepiest stories? That's a really good one to ask Reddit. And then I found out it was, like, some artist from No Sleep who came over and made it all up. I'm like, God damn it. Anyway, there's some good stuff over there. There's some creepy stuff. It's just probably a lot of stuff that would make a good movie. So this could be good.
Yeah. The response on the Reddit thread for this news story was kind of a mixed bag. There were people that loved this story. There were people that hated the story. There were people that, like, this is just stupid. Like, it sounds like it has, like, a twist that is either make or break kind of thing. So I guess we'll see. But props to Ryan Reynolds hopping on this.
He's so hot right now.
He is. You know who else is hot? Kurt Russell as badass Santa Claus in The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix. It has officially broken 20 million streams in its first week. 20 million!
Do you feel like we've needed some new classic Christmas movies? The last couple years, nothing really big or good has come out, right? Like,
we have. It's been a hot. It has been a long time
since like a new classic Christmas movie. Yeah.
Like, I can't even, like, the last bigger Christmas movie that I can remember is, like, Fred Claus, and that's not even, like, a classic.
I heard that was trash, first of all. I can remember The Night Before, maybe, with Seth Rogen, but that was too raunchy, and then Office Christmas Party, still kind of raunchy, but, like, a more family-friendly, big Christmas movie that, you know, adults enjoy, kids enjoy, I can't think of the last one that I saw and enjoyed. But yeah, that being said, I walked by when the wife was watching this. So I was like, dear God, this could not be entertaining. But you'll tell us during what you're watching whether this was good or not, right?
I will indeed. I've watched four of the Netflix Christmas movies that came out this year. I have one left, I believe. I'll be doing a write-up, and I'll be talking about it in what you're watching.
Boy, you really are trying to find something that scares you, huh?
That I am. Marvel. So we got Phase 3 coming to an end here in May with Avengers Part 2. We'll get to what the name is for it in a little bit. So they need some stuff for Phase 4. They're fast-tracking the first Asian superhero movie called Shang-Chi. I'm not sure the proper pronunciation. Chinese-American dude named Dave Callahan is going to write it. Search is on for the director. They want it to be Asian descent. So, this Shang-Chi.
Doesn't anybody remember the movie The One with Jet Li? He was a superhero. No, I guess it's... Okay, it's Marvel... Marvel's first Asian-led. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay,
Marvel's
gotcha.
First, yeah. Shang-Chi first appeared in Special Marvel Edition number 15 in 1973. Wow. Script will modernize the hero to avoid stereotypes that many comic characters of that era were saddled with. Classic. Oh, Jesus. So he's, yeah, all right. The comic launched, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Shang-Chi is the son of China-based globalist who raised and educated his progeny in his reclusive China compound, closed off to the outside world. That's kind of cool. Son trained in martial arts, classic. Developed unsurpassed skills, eventually introduced to the outside world to do his father's bidding.
So this news interests me just because it really makes it real that we're about to lose the characters or, you know, make this radical shift from the characters that we've grown to love over the 10, 12 years. And we're gonna start with some new characters that we have to know and start to learn. And it's just starting to become real, Austin. I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, the trailer for Avengers Infinity War Part 2 dropped this week, and we'll be talking about it. And yeah. I think that really hit home.
It's coming to a close.
Yeah. Jurassic World 3, though, that's still happening. Jurassic Park, still kicking. But guess what? In Jurassic World 3, there won't be any new hybrid dinosaurs. It's also releasing in 2021.
I think this makes sense because the dinosaurs, well, okay. So spoilers, if you haven't seen Jurassic World 2, skip a minute and a half, 2 minutes. The dinosaurs are out, right? Like, it's time to search and contain and figure out how to live in this new world. Nobody has time to make hybrid dinosaurs. So it makes sense. Kind of thought this is where it would go. What about you?
Yeah. And I also kind of assumed that would be the same deal after the first one, except then they started trying to make hybrids again, but on the black market. So I guess, okay, so they've covered their bases. So, you know, actual people, private and public, trying to make hybrid dinosaurs and then illegally trying to make private or hybrid dinosaurs.
The only base they haven't covered is successfully using them and using them in the military in a full movie, which we'll get to with Jurassic World 5, I'm sure.
Oh, man. That would be amazing.
That was the script for Jurassic Park 3 at some point.
Really?
Yeah, like actually using them.
So they're out in the world. Is it just going to be about them trying to capture them and bring them back to the island?
I think it will be, and it'll probably be some special search and rescue team, capture them, bring them all back, and it'll probably be a little bit more of that gray area. Do we capture them and bring them back to a sanctuary, or do we kill them? Yeah. Owen is probably going to want to capture them. You know, there will be some evil person that wants to kill them. Yeah, we're writing the script
right
now.
Vincent D'Onofrio back after he just kind of like dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, look at him back. Now that we'll talk about Zoom, but now that Daredevil's canceled.
God, all this news interconnected. Will Ferrell is bringing back Ron Burgundy, not for Anchorman 3, but for a podcast. Anchorman's Ron Burgundy, the new podcast. So I'm assuming he's just going to have celebrities on this. He basically was unveiled with a fake Ron Burgundy account having this cringeworthy interaction with Don Lemon, the CNN correspondent.
Okay.
This has got to be so dumb.
I'm kind of into it.
No.
Give me a weekly comedy show with Ron Burgundy. No. Anchorman 2 was not good. But boy, you go back and watch Anchorman 1, it still holds up. There isn't like this big, huge comedy, fictional podcast every week. We don't have it yet. So props to Will Ferrell holding it down. Trying something
new. I don't think this is going to be that. Like, just do a couple funny or die shorts. Will Ferrell has a stake in Funny or Die. He owns it. So
dude, he's,
just do that.
He's embracing the podcast medium. You know what? I'm sorry that you hate podcasts.
Step out our lane. Step out our lane, Will Ferrell.
Did you like Anchorman 2? Do you even remember it? Yeah.
I do remember it. Me and like all my friends in high school went to go see it, and like it was like one of the first movies that I almost like walked out of.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
A24 has acquired a new horror thriller, which is sort of similar to what they've done in the past, and it's premiering at Sundance. It is called The Hole in the Ground.
Okay.
So, you know, original title. This is... Ooh. Not a big fan of the fact that it's also premiering on DirecTV, so that's not a
good thing.
Hole in the Ground stars heat-seeking Irish actress. Interesting. Ooh, I'm going to slander this name. Sienna Kerslake. Okay. As Sarah, a mother who moves with her young son, Chris, to a country home on the edge of the forest, which happens to hide an enormous sinkhole. Her boy vanishes and soon reappears unharmed, though his behavior grows increasingly disturbing, leaving his mother to fear the worst, that the boy in her home isn't her son at all. Leadership at A24 called the film a remarkable debut, weaving suspense, terror, and supernatural folklore into a richly evocative story about the primal fears of motherhood. So kind of Babadook-ish in a way.
This is essentially the plot of Pet Sematary. I'm just going to put that out there. But... I guess without pets. A24, we love them. So it's been a while since we saw an A24 thriller, right? It Comes at Night was one of the biggest disappointments to you and I ever when it comes to horror. We were so overhyped with that movie, and then nothing came at night. But hopefully they can redeem themselves with this.
Oh, something came at night.
Did anything? Nothing. No.
Hallucinations and...
Mental anguish. Yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah, fuck that movie. God. I was so hyped for that movie, too.
My brother loved it. He thought it was great. I was like, man.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand why.
No.
Plastic Man is a superhero, apparently, by DC.
Let us reiterate again, we are not Marvel and comic book nerds. We have no idea who Plastic Man is. Go on.
Okay. Warner Brothers, who runs the DC universe, is clearly just grasping at straws here after their whole plan sort of went to shit after Justice League and Batman vs. Superman. So they're making a Plastic Man movie. Plastic Man is essentially a rubber man who stretches a lot, kind of like Mr. Fantastic. I don't know why he's called Plastic Man. He should be called Rubber Man. Ben Schwartz, who played John Ralphio in Parks and Recreation, has said that he would love to play Plastic Man. He's been saying this for years.
I'm 100% on board.
So if that tells you what kind of movie this would be, So if it's incredibly goofy, I'm in. But God,
I think
if this
it
is supposed
will
to
be. I've heard and read some earlier reviews on Aquaman. It embraces the silliness and the goofiness, and they're done trying the gritty version of the MCU, I think, and they're just going to try new things.
They still have all those. They still have all those Batman spinoffs that are supposed
to
be gritty.
They have like 55 movies in the works, dude. Nothing's going to happen.
We have been saying this for a while because I feel like, you know, every month we have a new DC movie that's in the works. And we've said it every time. They're just throwing crap at the wall, seeing what sticks. And you know what? I kind of respect it in a way.
In a way, I do. Because they realize what they're doing is not going to work. The gritty version of the MCU is not going to work. So just try new shit.
And I actually think that, like, movie universes, I think the viewing public is pretty much is close to being done with that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So I think it's a good move for them to just kind of do a bunch of random stuff and make random movies. Yeah, a couple can be interconnected. Obviously, they're superheroes, they're comic books. Like, they're going to be interconnected. We're going to have some crossover. But I don't think people want exactly, like, what the MCU has done. And I hope that the MCU pivots away from that as well.
Yeah, we have Shazam coming soon. That looks goofy and fun and kind of childish but still funny.
Yeah.
What's another one that kind of looks like outside of the cookie cutter, generic, rough? There was another trailer that looked pretty good too. But they're trying new things. Get some cool directors to have their own vision, create their own product, and stop trying to be the gritty, cool version of the MCU.
Yeah. Last movie news story of the week. Netflix has acquired a documentary about the infamous Fyre Festival from the directors of Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, about Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman in The Man on the Moon. Do you know about the Fyre Festival?
This story is bonkers.
So, for those not knowing about this, the Fyre Festival was a couple years ago, and basically was sort of lauded as this, like, cool getaway music festival that were, like, kind of like Coachella-like, kind of like Burning Man-like, where people would go to this island in the Bahamas, I think, right?
Yeah, somewhere remote.
And they basically paid a bunch of money for the ticket. They would go and almost be like kind of like this like resort in a way, camping out, watching music, you know, getting drunk and high on whatever is going on there. Basically, a bunch of people went there. There was like no music. The food, there was like barely any food, and if it was food, it was just crappy food. They were like barely giving out water. It was just like a bunch of tents. It looked like a refugee camp that like had been deserted in like an apocalyptic movie.
In the teaser, it showed like a salad with like a Kraft single laid over the top of it as like their gourmet salad. People were like fighting over mattresses with no sheets, just like, oh boy, like it has been one of the biggest scams in all of history, and I would love to watch this documentary.
Yeah, it's just truly a wild, incredible story. And part of the funniest aspect of it is that like all the kids that went, all the people that went are people that like you don't really care that this happened to, because they're you know, they're like rich pomp assholes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the, you know, exclusive 1% rich person. Yeah, so hilarious.
Oh, God. So that's it for movie news. We got a bunch of TV news here. First up, let's talk about the Golden Globes. So the nominations came out, actually, and I'm not going to go through all of them. I think I'm just going to talk about, you know, some snubs.
Yeah.
So, actually, let's talk about what got in. Black Panther got a nomination for Best Drama. So that's pretty cool. That's interesting. Bohemian Rhapsody also did for a drama, which is weird to me because there's a musical and comedy category. How did Bohemian Rhapsody not end up in, like, the musical category?
Yeah, it seems like a perfect fit for that one.
It's a little bit weird.
But I guess it's not a comedy and it's not a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true, actually.
It's a drama, yeah.
They got me there. First Man, the Ryan Gosling, Neil Armstrong movie, completely shut out. Got nothing except for Claire Foy for Best Supporting Actress.
It didn't get a like most annoying movie to go to hungover. That it should win that.
I think, you know, to be honest, it feels like that would be a category at the Golden Globes since everyone's getting hammered at the Golden Globes.
That's true.
You know, First Reformed, which is like a Keanu Reeves, Ethan Hawke, Jesus, Ethan Hawke movie from A24 as well. That has gotten rave reviews from critics. Basically, it's picking up a bunch of like random independent festival awards and independent like critics circle awards. Didn't get anything, so that was kind of surprising. Basically, the big winners were Vice, the upcoming movie about Dick Cheney, The Favourite, starring Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz. Green Book did pretty well, as did Mary Poppins, which only critics have seen so far. So basically, it's telling us that we got some good stuff to look forward to here.
Yeah, we're gonna do an episode of Mary Poppins. I feel like we'll have something else more exciting, but
there is a lot.
Basically, we're gonna have to do some double features for sure.
We are. Mary Poppins comes out the week of Christmas, and that week we're doing Aquaman and Holmes and Watson.
Oh yes.
And then the next week we're doing Vice and Bumblebee.
I was at a bar before I went to see, this is a side note, I was at a bar before I went to see last podcast on the left record, and the bartender comes up to us and he's like, "Hey guys, you excited to see that movie Vice?" And the entire group of people were like, "What?" I was like, "Yes, it's the same director as The Big Short. Yeah, I'm excited." It was a good thing that I knew what it was, because everyone else was like, "What a weird opening line from a bartender." And then 10 minutes later, he goes, "Man, it's like deja vu. I feel like I've served you all before." I was like, get out of here. Anyway, dude. I am excited for Vice.
What in God's name?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg hosting,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they're co-hosting. That's a weird pairing.
Very weird pairing. Is Sandra Oh the horse face woman from ER? I mean, Grey's Anatomy?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I don't like her.
Yeah, she's the... Yep, she's okay. I don't really... She's apparently in a very good show called Killing Eve that is on Hulu that is also... big at the Emmys and Golden Globes this year.
Okay.
Supposed to be like one of the best TV series of the year. So I guess that's probably why she's in this, because I don't think she's on Grey's Anatomy anymore. Is Grey's Anatomy still running?
I don't have a clue. Like 15 I would imagine years. So. Yeah.
Andy Samberg, though, love it.
Oh, yeah.
Need him. I think he already hosted once and he did great. So this is good. This is good. The Good Place, NBC show, has been renewed for season 4. Have you started watching The Good Place?
I have. I'm about 8 episodes in. It's pretty good so far. Yeah,
right.
I'm not loving it, but I'm warming up to it. It's a little full of itself, but I like it so far.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. I'm pumped for that. Season 3 has been a godsend, and they continue to keep reinventing themselves. So I'm all about this. Smartest show on TV currently.
Wow. Okay.
Another smart show, Black Mirror, finally has a premiere date, although not official. It's a leak. Fifth season premiering on December 28th, which is kind of what was assumed, that it was going to premiere basically right before New Year's.
Dude, we called this. We called this a couple episodes ago. We literally called this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come to us for the hot takes.
That's right, baby.
Because we know.
Hot scoops.
Insiders. First episode is going to be titled Bandersnatch. Like that name.
It sounds like something I call my ex-girlfriend. Go on.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the Pontiac Bandit.
Come on, my little Bandersnatch.
The Pontiac Bandit. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which got canceled by Fox and picked up by NBC and is premiering in January. The Pontiac Bandit has been a recurring character played by Craig Robinson, sort of the foil to Jake Peralta. Andy Samberg's Jake Peralta is returning in season 6 with a shocking twist. What do you think that twist could be?
That twist is he's somehow on the Force. I'm calling it now.
Ooh, I like that.
And he has to bring Jake in for a mission.
My assumption was that he was just going to somehow be a part of their annual Halloween heist.
Ooh, that's good too. I really like that, because I was wondering how they were going to do it. Love that. Always the best episode of the season, the Pontiac Bandit and Halloween. It's a toss-up which one's going to be better. Yeah. So.
Love Craig Robinson. I wish he was like could be in something good. Oh my God.
He tried to do that show with Adam Scott, that Ghosted show. What the hell was that all about?
I have no idea. Give me one second if you can hear that weird honking noise in the background. My dog has found his pig toy.
Oh, he's humping. Is he humping the pig toy?
No, he's not humping it. It's a tiny little rubber one.
Okay.
Plastic Man.
I'll just be talking during this intermission here. If you haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you definitely should watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's very, very good, and I almost say it's as good as The Office was in the earlier seasons before Steve Carell left.
I've been rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm on season 4. I had like a free month of Hulu somehow, so I was just like, I'm just going to rewatch It's Always Sunny in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, God, it's so good. I waited for years because it was on Fox, and I thought it looked dumb, but my God.
I had to convince you.
It is so good.
I had to convince you. Sad news. Daredevil has been canceled. This comes after Iron Fist and Luke Cage were canceled, which leaves only two Marvel Netflix series left standing. Those two are currently filming their final seasons, as sort of assumed. Jessica Jones season 3 and The Punisher season 2. Daredevil season 3 was, quite honestly, probably top 3 seasons that Netflix has put out of Marvel shows.
I agree. So do we write to Fox to rescue this? Like, how does this work? Usually we go to Netflix to rescue awesome shows that were canceled too soon. Like, what do we do?
I think we write to Disney for their Disney Plus streaming service and tell them to just let everyone that was on the Netflix series do the same thing for the Disney Plus streaming.
I don't see a foreseeable world where this gets rescued in any way. Like, it's over. And it's so sad. Yeah. It's such a great season. Such a good show. Charlie Cox, perfect portrayal of Daredevil.
Absolutely incredible. And it sucks because if they were to, like, introduce Daredevil into the MCU or something, they're going to get a bigger name, and it's just like, he was so good. He was so good.
Yeah. I would love to have, just put him in Avengers, put him in something soon. Like, you cannot let that perfect portrayal die. I don't care about the rest. Jessica Jones was pretty good. The other stuff kind of fell flat for me, but Daredevil just was great, man. It's really sad. Really sad to hear that.
Yeah. Other Marvel series for Disney Plus. It's been confirmed that Scarlet Witch is getting her own sort of limited series for the Disney streaming service, and it's going to be titled Vision and the Scarlet Witch, which means Vision is going to be in it. Viz is going to be in it.
Come on, Viz.
Paul Bettany. So Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen will be taking those roles over again for this sort of 6 to 8 episode mini series for Disney Plus. What, you interested in this?
No. At all? Daredevil died for this. I'm boycotting this. I want no part of this.
He died for this.
I don't want to ever hear Scarlet Witch call Vision Vij again.
God. That aspect of Infinity War is so bad.
Is it just going to be about them, like, falling in love?
I hope not.
The couple years they spent in Switzerland or wherever they were?
Oh, maybe. Oh.
Do you think Vision calls her Bandersnatch?
MTV Studios is bringing back Celebrity Deathmatch with Ice Cube. Celebrity Deathmatch was on in the early 2000s, late 1990s?
90s, 2000s. I remember watching it instead of the Super Bowl halftime show, I think, when I was a kid. Mm. They used to air, like, the most outlandish celebrity matches. Mm. I remember watching it as a kid during some, like, important event. I have fond memories of it, but then it got stupid because I grew up.
Yeah, I can't imagine this doing well now. Especially, like, MTV's too, like, celebrity friendly now.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to, like, go kind of, like, funny with it. They're going to be, like, very, you know.
Also, can someone tweet us if they watch MTV? I don't know anyone in my entire life right now that watches the channel MTV.
Last year, me and my friends watched the sort of, like, Laguna Beach knockoff called Siesta Key.
How do you find time for bad stuff to watch?
It's the only stuff I watch. sorry, I just delight. It's 1 hour a week. I just delight in the terribleness.
God.
I have to know that I'm better than other people out there, so I have to watch the bad stuff.
You need that validation. Got it.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Star Wars, the Mandalorian about... Is it about Boba Fett? No, it's about a...
No, not about Boba Fett, but about a bounty hunter.
Bounty hunter. Pedro Pascal is playing the lead in that. And guess who joined him? Nick Nolte. Weird.
Nick Nolte. Who is that? Yeah.
He's got a very gruff voice.
Is he in The Hulk? Ang Lee Hulk?
He might be.
I think he is.
I don't know. Nick Nolte was in Warrior with Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton.
I get him and Gary Busey.
Gary Busey are like the same
The guy
people.
Who's in The Wrestler as well.
Except Nick Nolte is, I think, a decent actor.
Yeah.
But this, I don't know.
Warrior, okay. Hold on, I gotta control that Hulk. Look him up. He was in Hulk. All right, continue.
Good job. Last news story of the week. Holy shit. Rupert Grint, who played Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter movies, has joined M. Night Shyamalan's Apple series. So Apple, yet another streaming service trying to get pop off here. Rupert Grint hasn't really been in a lot of stuff, weirdly. Potter series has not yet been revealed, but we hear it falls parents Dorothy and Sean Turner, who have hired young nanny Leanne to help care for their newborn child.
It's going to be The Visit all over again.
Okay, wait, what? Psychological thriller series. So it's got to be about some weird psychological stuff that the nanny's doing, right?
Every time I read something that says Apple series, I think that M. Night Shyamalan is developing a series around the company Apple. Like they're doing yet another Steve Jobs documentary, but M. Night Shyamalan's doing a twist on it. I don't care about Ron Weasley. Get out of here. I don't like this actor at all. I'm butthurt because Sarah thinks he's the best and cute in Harry Potter.
Really?
Yes, she's obsessed with Ron, and it drives me nuts.
Weird. Weird. Sarah, GTFO. That's it for news this week. Hope you enjoyed all of that action.
41 minutes of news.
We will not have that much news in a long time. Trailer time. We got some big trailers, and we're actually missing a trailer because they didn't release it. Sony was supposed to release the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. I'm assuming Marvel strong-armed them and was like, how about you don't? Because Marvel premiered the Avengers trailer. Avengers Endgame.
Let's see if I can just play the music and if it picks it up. Hold on.
All right, we're listening.
Nope, we'll have to edit it in.
All right, good try. First off, let me ask you, how do you feel about that title?
We did not call Endgame. It. Or did we? I can't remember if we called Endgame. We were saying like The Last Avenger or Avengers End or something like that, but we didn't call it. I guarantee you somebody on the internet did. Like the name. It's short and sweet, and it tells you what it's all about.
It took me the first time that I saw it, like, the reveal was sweet. They did it nice and slow in the trailer. But when I sort of read it, I was like, I don't know if I like it. But I've warmed up to it a lot.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'll appreciate it because Doctor Strange mentions Endgame in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So I like that little callback.
We'll call that.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Did
you think Cap was, Iron Man was just sad for too long in this trailer? I wanted more action and stuff. And it just... You liked the slow build-up.
No, this trailer was good.
Okay.
This trailer was good. We know that we're going to get action. I don't want to see the action. We don't need to see the action. We know we're getting the action. We don't need to see that. Show me, like, all this stuff that happened, I got to imagine it happens within the first half hour of the movie.
Yeah, that's true. They're trying to keep it fresh. I respect that.
And I do not want any more than what I've seen or any more than that. I don't need anything else spoiled.
Hold on.
I don't need to see the big...
Are you not watching the official trailer 2? Or trailer 1, I guess, since this was a teaser?
Are you going to make me watch it? Am I going to
have
to watch
podcast,
it for the podcast?
Yes.
Am I going to have to?
Yes.
Listeners, we'll see what happens.
All right. I'll do it. I'll have to review it alone.
How did you... let me get your thoughts on the trailer overall, though.
I liked it. It was okay. I don't think it holds a candle to the last Infinity War teaser, I think. Mm-hmm. But it was good, and it's just good to see something. You know, you got Iron Man sad, Thanos walking around. I thought Hawkeye becoming Ronin, I've heard.
Cool.
He looked kind of cool, and then you kind of see all the OG Avengers. You know that they're going to save the day.
You know, the trailer was sort of, again, it leaned a little dark, sort of in the darker, moodier kind of stuff until, you know, Ant-Man popped up. But I feel like they've done that in a lot of the trailers recently, and then the movie never ends up being sort of as serious. I mean, like, Infinity War was, but, like, Age of Ultron wasn't, even Civil War didn't feel as serious as the trailers let on, so, I do hope that it kind of holds the tone a little bit, but I do think it's going to be much more of an adventure movie than like any of the other movies were.
I think it'll be sad. I mean, we know what's coming here. We know what's coming, and it's going to hurt. So I think it will. It has to go that route to give us some closure.
I have heard rumors, speculation, people just assuming stuff online that they have heard. Air quotes, that Marvel is doing, it did some stuff with this trailer with like CGI and sort of like editing hair, editing like beards out and stuff like that, because obviously Chris Evans doesn't have a beard in this. Sad, because the beard was so great. Just kind of like throw you off, whereas like Is this stuff happening in the future? Is this stuff,
yep, like, they notoriously change stuff in the trailers to throw you off, and there's definitely be some things in here that were like, hey, that wasn't in the movie. I've heard that, I thought the Hawkeye looked pretty cool, but then when he turned around and it was Jeremy Renner all serious, I kind of giggled. I heard that he, this could be a spoiler, so 30 seconds forward, guys. I've heard that he becomes Ronin and dons this mask after his whole family dies in the comics, so I'm guessing his whole family died with this. The old snapperooski.
Yeah. They do like show him right after the line of like, we've lost our family or something, whatever, some crap like that too. They've changed the release date. They moved it up another week, just like they did with Infinity War. It was originally supposed to premiere May 3rd, April 26th now.
Ant-Man at the end, apparently he gets out of the quantum realm, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess so.
I don't know how that happens.
The thing is, I can't remember Ant-Man and the Wasp super well right now. Was he actually stuck down there, or was it just like...
Yeah, he went in there and everybody...
No, I know.
Oh, you're saying, did he just lose everybody communication?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he could have just lost communication and he'll just, you know, do what he did in the first movie.
I assumed he was stuck in there. We'll see what happens, though.
That was my guess, too.
Good kind of comic relief at the end to be like, mm-hmm. oh, so this is how everything comes together. Ant-Man's going to be really important moving forward here, because speculation, move forward 20 seconds, is that... They're going to use this quantum realm. They're going to use time travel to go back in time and fix all of the things that led up to the snap.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we're going to have a new player. I'm readjusting that agenda, by the way. We also got trailer 2 for Captain Marvel, the Brie Larson Marvel movie. So this is a longer trailer. The first one was a teaser. This is like an actual full-length trailer. What did you think about this?
I liked the first one better. We've talked about this offline. We're allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. The lines were a little flat. The budget's pretty low, and it kind of looks that way. It's just not really hitting the home run with me. What about you?
Brie Larson, what are you doing, baby?
What, are you not happy with the role, Brie? Do you not like what's going on here?
Brie, reach out. Tell me what's going on. Because
talk to me. Don't call Austin. Reach out to me.
Because what's going on with her voice in these trailers? Why does she sound like she's trying to have like a teenage girl voice or like a baby? Almost like she's doing like a little baby voice.
She just doesn't seem into it.
No, not at all. There's like a line towards the end, and I forget what it was, but it was supposed to be like sort of said with force, and it just isn't.
I know what it was. Because... I'll do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight your war.
Yep,
I am going to end it.
Yep. That's exactly how it sounded too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because like she's supposed to be sort of alien like.
Yeah, but trying to find her human side. She doesn't feel like a human, because I believe what happens is, actually, I don't know. I'm not even gonna go into it. All I know is I'm assuming Jude Law is actually a bad guy.
Ooh, that's your guess, really?
Yeah. I've heard that he's a bad guy and he takes her and gives her the powers and uses her in some way. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Because he plays Mar-Vell, because why would names be easy
right.
and not similar to each other, who apparently is like, I think in the comics is the dude that like gives her her powers and then trains her. So I could see maybe they do a twist on that and make him the evil one.
But. Yeah, they've been doing that. Like, not everything's exactly the same as the comic books. And like we said, we don't know enough about it to make a really educated guess here. All I can tell you is my reaction is pretty lukewarm so far. Sam Jackson looks good, really good as far as the de-aging goes, better than like Tron did, better than some other ones. They got a cat named Goose.
Throwback to Top Gun.
Yeah, it'll be 90s feel, which is kind of cool, but I don't know, man. Hype low.
Mine's low. Mine's super low. Didn't even really like the first trailer that much, except for her punching the gram on the face, which we get an extended cut of in this one. And again, I just don't like it, and I don't want her to be... Actually, you know what's funny? Is if Marvel boofs this one up, and DC was the one that got a female superhero right and Marvel was the one that did it wrong, that'll be hilarious.
Yeah, Wonder Woman versus Captain Marvel. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because we love Wonder Woman. Fantastic. Looking forward to the next one.
Next up, another trailer number 2. Godzilla King of the Monsters. God, why isn't it just King of Monsters? Godzilla King of the Monsters. Official trailer number 2 released. directed by Michael Dougherty, who made Trick or Treat,
and Krampus, sort
of Halloween movie, and Krampus. Mm-hmm. Millie Bobby Brown, Vera Farmiga, Charles Dance, Ken Watanabe, Thomas Middleditch,
Coach,
forgetting it, Kyle Chandler. Yep. I don't know, probably 500 other people. So we get an extended one. The first trailer was possibly one of the best trailers of all time. This one, good. We see a lot more action. We see the monsters a little bit more. But I don't think it's quite as good as the first trailer.
Trailer one was better, but this got me really pumped. Got to see some monsters. I've read that there are 15 confirmed non-Godzilla universe monsters, new monsters being added to this movie. Apparently everybody's, 15? As they said in the trailer, battling Godzilla for dominance. And we become his pets. Ken Watanabe is there to say stoic lines that sound kind of lame as he stares off in the distance. But
Whoa. Back off. Back off, my dude. Back off, my dude.
Let them fight.
He's got great lines.
Some of the lines in this movie are going to be great GIF material.
I know we've talked about this ad nauseum. And now that you're saying there's 15 monsters? Yeah. I don't understand how you top this or how you move on to Godzilla vs. Kong after this. Because this is like world-ending stuff, and like everything in this, and don't get me wrong, it looks amazing, but how do you move on from this?
I think I might have predicted this in the past, and I didn't read this anywhere. This is just my gut feeling, is that King Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, is going to mess shit up. He's going to win the fight. Godzilla's going to go into hiding or go somewhere else. And then in Godzilla vs. King Kong, he's going to have to fight King Kong, but then they're going to have to team up to take down King Ghidorah.
Interesting. So granted, that going to be dominating the world while
yes,
that happens?
Yes. Granted, that doesn't get us to the level of almost 20 monsters that are going to be in this movie, so I don't know how they're going to escalate from there, but yeah, they'll figure something out.
We do know that Millie Bobby Brown is going to be in Godzilla vs. Kong as well.
So yeah, and she seems to like care about him. She asked, is he going to be all right? Because I'm assuming she's releasing Godzilla. Like, she plays a part in getting him to fight the monsters. Man, this is the movie that I've wanted since I was a kid, watching dubbed VHSs with my brother. I cannot wait. Might be my most anticipated of the year movie. Tied with Endgame.
We'll see. We'll have that post at the end of the month.
What do you think about the final scene of them charging into each other? I thought it looked a little sped up, and I've read that it might have been for the trailer. Godzilla isn't supposed to be like that nimble. I like the weight that the monsters have had, and I was like, oh, don't be dumb.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't like it. I did like seeing like all the destruction and seeing the monsters, like, you know, the sort of the battle stuff. But again, like, there's something about it that wasn't, like, fully reeling me in.
Then again, there's a couple shots in this trailer that, like, I want as my wallpaper. It's still beautifully shot, and I'm really excited to just take it in, man.
Ugh, I'm going to go watch that first trailer before I go to bed.
I did the same thing when this one came out. So good. Yeah.
Next up is Triple Frontier. This is a movie that had been in development hell for a very long time. Really? Catherine Bigelow was attached to direct it. Then they brought in some other directors. Freaking Tom Hanks was supposed to be in it at one point, but it's finally settled down. It's at Netflix, directed by J.C. Chandor, who made A Most Violent Year, which starred Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain.
Did you ever see that?
I did. Not bad.
I never saw it.
Not a lot of violence in it. he also made the movie Margin Call, which is sort of like taking down like Wall Street kind of stuff. But this is an action movie, and it stars Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, Garrett Hedlund. Anyone else I'm forgetting? I feel like those are the
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal. Nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good job. And this is basically about, you know, a bunch of like sort of ex-military guys doing like their own mission.
Yeah, they're like, basically, we've done so much good, cool shit that we should be rich forever. Like, we've taken bullets for our country, and you can't even put your daughter through school. Like, let's go make some money using our skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so basically this group of special force operatives plan a heist in sort of this South American country area, and things take an unexpected turn, threaten to spiral out of control, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. Co-written by Mark Boll, who actually wrote Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh.
So good writer there. I think he's actually the dude that usually writes the movies for Catherine Bigelow, so that makes a little bit more sense. What did you think about this? I thought the trailer started out pretty good, and then it kind of devolved into typical like blockbuster action-y kind of trailer.
Yeah, it looks good. Stacked cast, bunch of bros that we like. Good to see Garrett Hedlund in something. I haven't seen him in anything. I really liked him in Tron. I really liked Tron. And then Disney got Star Wars, and they're like, we're done with that. It looks like a good stacked cast. It'll be a fun one on Netflix. And as we always say, gets a much better of a pass because we don't have to go to the theater to watch it.
That's a fact. Next up is Brightburn. This is a horror movie.
Superhero horror.
Yeah. Produced by James Gunn, not directed by him, written by his brothers, starring Elizabeth Banks and Roy from The Office. Someday someone will learn his name. That day is not today. Basically, they're married. They're trying to have kids, can't have kids, and like a comet lands. And they go out to check it out, and there's like a little baby. And they rescue the little baby and raise him. And as the trailer goes on, start realizing things might be a little off with this kid. And then you realize he's like a super... It's basically like if Superman was evil.
Great concept, and really surprised that no one else got to this earlier. It's literally, yeah, if Superman was an evil kid. Looks awesome.
I think it looks amazing, and I have been talking about how I would love for superhero movies to kind of go this direction where they're sort of like bending genres and sort of doing like their own specific thing. Like, I know Marvel does kind of stuff like that, like, you know, buddy comedies and whatever, but I like this sort of this meshing of things and where it's not like, you know, a previous IP or something like that. It does feel legitimately creepy.
It looks like Brightburn's going to beat the New Mutants to the punch because it gets delayed every time we have a podcast, it seems like. Really neat concept. Actually looks well-directed. Interesting. I'm interested to see how much of a part of this James Gunn has. That looks really good. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Even like the symbol, too, that like the kid is drawing.
And his like mask.
Yeah.
It's like his mask is like a zipped face and glowing eyes. Yeah. Weird. Off-putting.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Next up is another horror movie. Much more lighthearted, though. Happy Death Day to You.
It's like a comedy, basically.
Happy Death Day to You, which we actually... I saw the trailer for before Halloween. You don't know if you saw the trailer before Halloween. You thought it was just the
first... I definitely didn't. For some reason, they must have been re-screening Happy Death Day in theaters around October. Because I'd not seen this trailer.
That doesn't make sense, man. That does not. But here's the thing. You can understand my confusion because.
Yes.
The movies are very similar.
It did not have the new footage, I'm telling you. Because I was like, this is the freaking Death Day, the number one trailer. Maybe I'm just nuts.
Anyways, we already kind of talked about it a little bit, but we'll talk about it again. Basically, it sees, all the main cast back, except. Things have not been solved, and this time the killer is trying to kill all of them.
Don't spoil what happened. I hate how this trailer. Don't watch this trailer if you haven't seen the first one. It literally spoils the killer of the first one. So interesting concept from the first movie. Interesting concept from this movie. I really was surprised how much I enjoyed this movie. It didn't take itself too seriously, and it looks like it won't this time. She's jumping out of planes in her bra and panties just because she can, and she doesn't give a shit. It looks pretty good.
Next up, final movie trailer here, Artemis Fowl, which is, God, if I could explain what this movie is about, I wish I could. There's some boner-looking little kid walking around. Gonna be honest, though, kind of hooked me. I think it seems kind of cool.
I was gonna say, I don't have any idea what I just watched. Kind of like the first time that I watched the Mortal Engines trailer, I was like, what are we doing here? Wachowski brothers, Jupiter Ascending.
It
reminds me of that, where it's just like so stylized and CG and out there and sci-fi mixed with fantasy mixed with young adult. I don't know what to think, man.
I truly have no idea what this is about.
The little kid didn't
even feel like a main center point until like the end. They finally showed him. There's like a creepy voice, raspy voice, which I was like kind of about. And then I was like, but can I just see something? Like, what's happening? And there's like weird fantasy, fantastical elements happening.
We're doing a bad job on this podcast. Hold on.
Yeah.
Artemis Fowl is a series of 8 science fiction fantasy novels written by Irish author Eoin Colfer, featuring the criminal mastermind Artemis Fowl II. The series has received positive critical reception and generated huge... Tell me what it's about, Wikipedia. God. Hold on. A teenage genius, okay. Artemis, captures Holly Short, who is a fairy and a captain of Leprechaun.
Polly Shore?
Holly Short, in the first book, and holds her for ransom to exploit the magical fairy people and restore his family's fortune. I don't want to go on because it talks about the sequel. Anyway, I still don't know what this is about, but the trailer did kind of get me intrigued.
Yeah, no, it kind of interests me, and it almost feels like something that I'm going to watch, and I might just hate watch it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Last two trailers here. Game of Thrones Season 8 released an official teaser that showed us basically nothing.
We shouldn't have even put this on here, but it's Game of Thrones material, and we are hungry for anything.
I don't think we're going to get much before we see the final season.
No, so what did this even show?
A real trailer.
Showed some fire, showed some ice, showed a dragon.
Classic.
And then nothing else, really, right?
Everything you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yep.
On that note, if we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, there was a little Season 3 Stranger Things teaser. Go watch it. It revealed the title names of every episode and then put a 3 on top of the Stranger Things logo. That's how hungry for that content we are, guys.
Last trailer of the week, Miracle Workers, which is a TBS limited series starring Steve Buscemi and Daniel Radcliffe. Steve Buscemi plays God, Daniel Radcliffe plays an angel. I don't really know what else this is about other than that. Kind of about it. I think it looks...
Was it so much of a trailer teaser as it was a clip from the show? Mm-hmm. Basically, Daniel Radcliffe comes in there and says, "Hey, God / Steve Buscemi, we have a lot of prayers to stop the tsunami." And Steve Buscemi's like, "Yeah, what is that? Is that a wishy-wishy or a swirly-swirly?" Like, basically, God doesn't know what natural disasters he's putting on the planet and is like, just nonchalantly deciding whether or not he's going to make the tsunami stop or keep going.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. When's the last time you watched a good TBS show, though? New
shoot,
Girl?
That was Fox. No, that wasn't a TBS. There was a good what was it called? Oh, what was it called? I watched it last year, 2 years ago.
No,
Searching?
You didn't.
Searched? No. Yes, I did. It stars maybe from Arrested Development.
I don't remember that one.
I'm not going to be able to figure it out.
That's all right.
It was good. It's very good.
All right. Well, I love Steve Buscemi. I'm okay on Daniel Radcliffe. Looks good.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for trailers. Time for What You Watching. Finally. Oh, and actually, before we get into it...
You would add this in here.
If you recall, we had a bet about the Orville, the Seth MacFarlane Fox show, kind of like a Star Trek spoof. Basically that if it gets a season 2, you were going to have to watch it.
I put all my money on the fact that a Seth MacFarlane-led Star Trek spinoff on Fox would never get to a season 2. And here we are. So I need to watch season 1. I've been kind of catching up on South Park in my lonesome time when Sarah's not watching. So I guess I'll plug in the Orville instead.
You better get working because you got 19 days until season 2 premieres, and you have to watch it all before season 2 premieres.
Well, at least the holiday break's coming up, I guess.
What else have you been watching?
All right, let's go through a couple of these. This'll round out the show, guys. We don't have a featured review, so if you want to listen to our kind of what we've been watching and recommendations, stick around. You want to go over what we have coming up next week, just in case people tune out during this?
Yeah, next week we have Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, sort of animated Spider-Man movie that is actually, probably going to be nominated for an Oscar. So. Yeah.
Is that it? Not a double feature? Nothing else?
Nope, not a double feature, just that.
Let's talk about Crazy Rich Asians. This got a lot of hype, and to me, it was good for the people that directed, created, starred, breakthrough hit. Made a lot of money. It was well directed, but boy, I started to tune out in the second half. I thought the first third was pretty funny, and I was really into it, but kind of tuned out, and it fizzled out for me and ended up just your generic rom-com, and I gave it like a C. What about you? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I liked it. I'm a big rom-com guy, so I was very excited to finally watch this. That said, I was a little bit let down, and I do understand that it probably did so well because connected with an audience that hasn't had this kind of movie before, and also, you know, that's very good, better representation, more diverse stories, love it. I did like the glamour of it all. I thought
it looked really good. Yeah,
extravagance was sweet. But it just didn't feel like they dove deep enough into the relationships. And there's a side relationship that I think would have been more interesting to watch. The sister mm-hmm. and her husband.
Which I think
in the sequels they go a little bit more into her and stuff, but it just felt like some of the side characters were just kind of like, oh my god, all right, enough. I've had enough
of Ken Jeong 5 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
Did you end up watching Alpha at any point? The story of a young boy who lives in the prehistoric era and befriends a wolf to get back to his family?
The first best friend for a man. No, I did not watch it.
It was pretty good. Well directed. Some good CG. Some good prehistoric animals. Some scares. Some good animal to human befriending.
Did you just try scaring the audience with that way that you said the scares?
Some scares. Some scary stuff in it. That's a good. I gave it like a B minus. It was fun. I actually didn't think I'd enjoy it, and it got good Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that. Just didn't do a lot at the box office. Mm-hmm. Director was somebody I think we're into. I can't remember. I'll look it up.
Really?
You tell me what you've been watching.
I'm not going to go into the Christmas movies just yet. I saw Widows, which was one of my most anticipated movies of the year from director Steve McQueen, who made 12 Years a Slave, Shame with Michael Fassbender, written by Gillian Flynn, some way you say it, who wrote Gone Girl and Sharp Objects. That was on HBO. Starring Viola Davis, Elizabeth Debicki, Michelle Rodriguez, Carrie Coon, Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell,
Jesus.
Robert Duvall, Brian Tyree Henry, Daniel Kaluuya, probably some more people that I'm forgetting, to be honest. John Bernthal. Yeah. And basically it's about a group of widows who all their husbands were all sort of like in a heist team together, who all die, and basically they get together to perform one last heist to settle the score that their husbands had. I was extremely excited for this. It's doing pretty well critic score wise. It's a very entertaining movie.
We thought by the trailer we were like, this looks badass.
Pretty entertaining movie. So the cinematography in this movie is off the chain. Like, it deserves a nomination at the Oscars. It's like just absolute incredible camera work for just like a basic heist movie kind of thing. Some of the emotional core of it doesn't really connect, which was sort of like the letdown. Acting overall was really good. Daniel Kaluuya is absolutely incredible as a villain. Dude from Get Out. Overall it's a pretty good movie. I gave it a B+. But that's basically because I came into it expecting it to be like an A+. Just like let down a lot.
Overhyped.
Overhyped.
We do that to ourselves a lot.
We do it. That's indeed. Also, watch Paddington. Watch Paddington with you.
Yeah. So we've been talking about Paddington for a long time. We're like, how does this have such a like amazing Rotten Tomato score? It's this off-putting human-like bear. That's like sticking a toothbrush in his ears and pulling out wax and then brushing his teeth. I'm like, this looks so bad. It's very heartwarming and it was pretty good.
It is one of the sweetest films I've ever seen in my life.
I am a changed man. Like, I have flipped and I am Team Paddington.
And have you watched Paddington 2 yet?
No.
Oh,
we should watch it over a holiday.
Oh, yes. There's people that say that Paddington 2 is the best movie of the year.
Yeah, like it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
It's like the
best
reviewed film of all time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Anyways, I gave Paddington an A.
I gave it an A-. It was great. I was happy with it. I was shocked.
Outstanding stuff. The other non-Christmas movie that I watched was Tragedy Girls. This has been a movie that I've had just on my list for like a little bit. Sort of like an indie horror comedy movie. Starring, oh man, what have these girls been in? Stars the girl that played Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then Alexandra Shipp, who was in, she played Young Storm in the X-Men Apocalypse movie. And basically, they're these two high school girls that run like this Twitter account and stuff about this serial killer that's in their town, except they catch the serial killer and then perform their own murders in the style of the serial killer to like get notoriety and fame. And it's bonkers. It's really funny. It does shift a little bit into like annoying, like high school drama-y kind of thing, but it's really entertaining.
That premise sounds great.
And it's such a twist on what you usually expect.
I'm gonna add this to my watch list.
So yeah, it's pretty good. I gave it a B+.
Did you say it was on Netflix?
It's on Hulu.
Ugh. Okay. I started watching Billions on Showtime. Have you heard of this show?
I have. Paul Giamatti, baby.
Paul Giamatti, the guy from Homeland / Band of Brothers. I forget his name. He looks like Jason Garrett, coach of the Cowboys. Do you remember? Do you know, who I'm talking
Lewis.
About?
Damian Lewis.
Damian Lewis, yeah. Plays just a real schmuck of a stock trader. And Paul Giamatti is this district attorney trying to take him down. It's actually really good. Malin Ackerman's in it as well. It's really just about those two duking it out, and this guy having, he calls it FU money, and Paul Giamatti just trying to like take him down within the confines of the law. And it's been on my to watch list for quite some time, and I think you'd enjoy it. It's really good.
Interesting.
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
Yeah, so then basically all that I have left are Christmas movies, the Christmas Netflix Christmas movies, Netflix holiday movies to be proper. I'm writing a post on this at the moment. It will probably be out either today or tomorrow, so I'm not going to go too deep into it, but we're going to run through super quick. Worst to first. All right. Worst, the holiday calendar. This is the most Hallmark-like of the four.
Are these all Netflix?
These are all Netflix.
Oh, God.
Most Hallmark movie-like of the four, basically about this girl that's like just runs a photography business in her hometown, who's like best male friend comes home over Christmas, and she gets this like advent calendar from her grandpa that is like magical somehow, but maybe not magical. And it's just it commits the sin of being boring and unaffecting, and I gave it a D+.
So it belongs on the Freeform Network channel?
Yes, it does. Okay. It does. Next up, I have a tie for two. But third place I'm going to give to the Christmas Prince 2, A Royal Wedding. Now, to note, I have not seen the first Christmas Prince, so I came into this having no idea what was going on.
What is wrong with you, dude?
It's going to make for great content.
Oh my God.
So, this is apparently about like a lifestyle blogger that somehow married the king of a fictional foreign country called Astoria or some shit like that. And she goes there, and it's all the classic kind of stuff that you would expect where, like, oh, she's supposed to be prim and proper, but she, like, wants to do her own thing, even though she doesn't try to do anything crazy or anything like that. She's just, like, trying to be a normal person and not be the worst person in the world. There's some weird stuff going on with, like, the economy for this country, and there's like this weird like poor economic
there's
backdrop.
There's an economy subplot
movie. Yeah, this king has to deal with, like, people are revolting and going on strike. It's a whole thing. But it, you know, actually not like terrible. There's some like her dad in this movie is just like the most stereotypical cliche New Yorker, Staten Island, freaking Coney dog slinging kind of guy. And he is so dumb. It was like, if anyone, like, even if that was your own dad, you would hate him.
Who is this movie for?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I give it a C. It's actually like not the worst movie in the world, but a C. Next up is The Christmas Chronicles, which I also gave a C. This is the Kurt Russell Santa Claus movie. Now
I was hoping it was really awesome.
This one I gave a C because it had so much potential and they really just missed out, and also the kid actors are absolutely god awful. Kurt Russell though, absolutely amazing as like a rock star Santa. He literally has he's in jail at one point. You gotta watch the movie. He's in jail at one point, and all of a sudden he gets like everyone in the jail to like perform a Christmas song that's like a rock, like blues Christmas song, and it is like probably the best scene of the year of any movie. But I gave it a C. It was a letdown. Could have been way better. But it feels like that kind of movie that would be like that could have been in theaters easily.
Are we getting a sequel?
Yes. We gotta be.
Okay.
Then the last one that I watched is The Princess Switch. And this easily could be the worst one, but because it's so bad, it is entertaining. Vanessa Hudgens of High School Musical fame is in this as basically playing two different women. She plays a princess who is like about to get married to this prince, and then she plays a random Chicagoan. She doesn't have a Chicago accent though. Runs a bakery and then enters like this big bakery contest. And they meet each other, and then the princess doesn't want to be the princess, so she gets the baker to like act as her, and then the princess acts as the baker for like a weekend. But Vanessa Hudgens has a confounding British accent. She's doing like a British accent, except a British accent that you would hear in like the 1920s, not in like the 2010s. Mm-hmm. Which makes it hilarious every time you hear her talk. And apparently, like, this girl that's impersonating her all of a sudden has the exact same accent as her without working on it at any point. And she also has a perfect English accent, or perfect American accent. It's so absurd. There's supposed to be a villain that in the end, like, isn't even a villain. Like, there's no conflict in this movie. It's all so absurd. And it's just so stupid, but I was hooked because it was just so dumb and entertaining to watch. There's also the baker's friend, has a daughter, and this daughter could either be 6 years old or 14 years old, and there is no in between. It was so confusing, but so hilarious. A plus.
What is your real grade for it?
Probably C plus.
Really? It sounds like the worst one of all. Oh boy, I don't know how you do it, man. But bravo to you. We're finally gonna get some content up on the site. Mm-hmm. Holy hell! Are there any good Christmas movies on Netflix coming out now or coming out in the theaters that we can like get excited about?
No.
The Nutcracker come out? Did that already bomb?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, it bombed of course. Hard.
I feel bad. I had the girl from Interstellar in it. I liked her. The daughter, Jessica Chastain. Damn. Man, we need a new good Christmas movie, damn it. But bravo to you for slogging through all the crap.
We'll have to be the ones to make it. You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Nothing else. All right. So that was actually like one of our longest episodes. Thank you for bearing with us. We'll be back next week with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse review, as well as probably some news, although maybe things will cool off after that bonkers week that we just had. Thank you for listening. As always, remember to subscribe and review, preferably 5 stars, on whatever podcast listening platform you use. Tell a friend to download. Tell a friend to subscribe. Do all that fun stuff. Check out glitchup.com. You can read my Descent into Madness with these Christmas Netflix movies pretty soon here, as well as some end-of-year content that we should have pretty soon. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Later, Bandersnatches.